please the court. My name is James Pleiss, and I represent Jeanette McReynolds, the plaintiff appellant in this matter. Generally, at this time, in my argument, I briefly review the relevant facts in connection with this appeal. However, appellants now represent in their brief that there are no disputes with respect to any facts. This was a different position argued before Judge Coffey in the lower court, but I'll withhold comment on that concession for a minute or two. My client appealed from the order of the district court sustaining the motion for summary judgment with respect to four issues. One was the nature of the services provided by the appellant. The second is the resulting duty owed by appellant to McReynolds based on the disputed nature of the services provided. The duty owed the appellant to McReynolds resulting of appellant's possession of superior knowledge with respect to the facilities and the operation of the vacation resort in Mexico, and the resulting negligence of appellee in failing to disclose that pertinent and critical information to McReynolds prior to her trip, and the resulting breach of contract for failure to disclose those same facts. I don't want to spend a lot of time on summary judgment because the court is quite aware of it, but I just want to highlight three issues. It's an extreme remedy, as this court knows, and it should be issued only when it's clear beyond all doubt. If reasonable inferences minds might differ, then from the ultimate conclusion, a summary judgment should not be granted. And lastly, the evidence must be viewed in the light most favorable to the party against whom the summary judgment is directed, and give that party, McReynolds in this case, the benefit of all favorable and or reasonable inferences. With those three principles in mind, I want to talk about the two exhibits offered by appellant.
This is framed as a negligence action?
Well, we did sue for negligence, for breach of contract. We sued for res ipsa and another claim, in the, Your Honor.
So what do you call it now?
We call it breach of contract and negligence action.
With respect to the contract,
With
respect to the contract claim, is there any evidence in the record concerning the content or terms of the contract?
No, there is none in the contract record with respect to that. All we have in the record is the two affidavits and the affidavit of McReynolds and the representations as to the scope of the vacation package that was represented and provided to McReynolds prior to her trip. In the affidavit of Jay French, he testifies that he's been in the travel industry business and is aware of the standards for 23-some years. And he testifies he's selling a vacation packages. Ultimate Cruise is selling vacation packages, but goes on and states that the issue in here was that they limited his services, he claims, were limited to booking a hotel room in Mexico. Then he continues and states that he's familiar with the standard of care in the travel agency business.
Is there anything in the record that the travel agent was aware of the hotel's security system regarding the safe?
Yes. Well, not the safe. There's ample evidence that when my client returned from Mexico and had a conversation with Ellie Bystrom, in the affidavit of McReynolds, she goes on exhibit number 5, Ellie Bryston says she had been to the resort and knew about the resort and that there was an antiquated room key system with respect to this particular facility, and the other Ryu facility on the same resort premises had a credit card key system, as opposed to the antiquated, that's the language of the appellant, Ellie Bryce, antiquated room key system.
Had the plaintiff taken the key with her when she left the room, and that had prevented the theft of the jewelry?
Perhaps, but she may not have even gone on her trip to begin with if the information that was possessed by the appellant had been provided to her in advance, the antiquated room key system, which would then give a reasonable inference. Well, what does antiquated mean? Is that a skeleton key type situation? Should I not take any valuables? What does antiquated mean? Or maybe it means I shouldn't go to this resort.
I'm still back here. Is that a breach of contract?
Pardon me?
Is that a breach of contract, or are you in negligence?
Well, be honest with you, I think we're drifting between the two of them, Your Honor.
So let's call it negligence then. So how do you see the duty between these parties?
Well, the duty is that, and I cite the Missouri case where the young man passed away in the swimming pool, and that talks about differentiating between a ticket agent and a travel agent. And our position is that the appellees here had knowledge within their possession, the antiquated lock key system, which they could have disclosed to her before. And secondly, they disclosed to her after her return, there's an admonition, don't take any valuables.
So you're saying there is a duty.
There is a duty.
As a question of law, you're saying there's a duty.
Yes.
Now you're talking about the standard of care, right? About breach.
I'm talking about breach of the standard of care. I represent or allege that those two facts and the reasonable inferences that should be accrued to the benefit of my client tell us that maybe she doesn't even go on the trip, maybe she doesn't take jewelry, maybe the only thing she takes is jogging clothes down there, if they say in their representation.
What's the credit card system?
Pardon me?
What is the credit card system?
Well, presumably the credit
card. State of the art.
Huh? Pardon me?
Is this how you lock your safe, is with a card instead of a key?
No, I'm not talking about the safe, Judge. I don't know what the safe was a key system. When they said antiquated locks, it's not specific as to whether it's an antiquated lock to the door, although they compare it to the credit card system at the other building on the resort. Potentially, they could be referring to the key system on the safe, because the newer safes are digital and you put four numbers in, etc. The other admonition is don't take any valuables with you. Is that merely specific to Mexico,
We know how the jewelry was stolen, don't we?
No, we don't know how the jewelry. It was gone.
There was a key missing from the room.
Her room key was not missing.
Her safe key was missing.
Her safe key was not missing. She had left it in the room.
Okay, her safe key was used or indicated.
We don't know how it was opened.
Was it still in the same place that was when she left it?
Yeah, she had left it with her personal effects in a drawer.
Was still in the drawer?
She took the room key with her.
In the drawer. Why did they have to use a drill to open the safe?
I don't know why they had opened the safe. Perhaps I misspoke. Maybe it wasn't in the drawer.
But there's probably evidence that the thief used the key that it found in the room to open the safe to steal the jewelry.
I don't know how we get there.
How do you not get there?
Well, because we don't know what happened down there. We don't know what happened. We know that the jewelry...
Well, you're trying to survive a summary judgment, so that might go to comparative if you kept going.
If we kept going, precisely. But we were cut off at first base. We didn't even make it around first base, Your Honor. That's the point that I was trying to make. The other issue that we talked about is the knowledge that it was unsafe. The facility don't take property with you. The court has inquired before about the quality or the extent of the services to be provided. There are articulated in the two affidavits the standards of care. Both Mr. Jay Schaefer and Mr. French testified to the standard of care, and they said they've been in the business for 20 years, but all they are doing is selling a room in Mexico. Well, that's not true. They sold a full package. They sold a package that included all flights, all meals, all drinks, all shuttles, hotel rooms not only in Mexico but in Kansas City, sailing excursions, parking, ground transfers, gratuities, vouchers, coupons, a designated representative on the ground, an Experience More card, and a Dream Vacation card.
So is there some evidence in some inference that the standard of care when one sells a package is to provide a description of the property and in detail enough to encompass the security measures at the property?
Well, if the travel agent, which in this case Ellie Bryston, stated she had been on the premises before, which my client testified in her affidavit, Exhibit 5, was an inducement to go, and that she was aware of the antiquated room key system that had existed but hadn't disclosed it to her. So, on balance, why isn't that disclosed? Why is it disclosed after the trip?
And that it is customary to disclose such things?
It should be customary to disclose if they have that information in hand.
Someone said that's the custom in the industry?
We don't know what that is because those standards have never been articulated. All they've said, the appellant said, we're a travel agency, and that's why I look to, or a travel agent or a tour agent, I look to the Missouri case that helps the court, at least in my opinion, differentiate between a ticket agent, here's one ticket, versus someone that sells the whole package. And when
if your client left the combination to the safe in a secret place in the room and the thief found that, what would be your position now? Would you have any duty then? Would the travel agent have any duty with regard to that?
The duty is how do they get into the room? You have to take a step in advance of that, and there's an antiquated room key system, which had been disclosed, and maybe she doesn't take her jewelry, and maybe she doesn't put it in the safe.
Don't the maids have keys to all the rooms?
Pardon me?
Don't the maids have keys to all the rooms when they're cleaning the rooms?
That's not in the evidence here,
Judge. Well, how does a maid get in and out of it?
I presume there's some type of a passkey system that's used, but I don't know what antiquated system is, although that gives rise to an inference. It's not the same as the credit card system, which is the more sophisticated system that existed at the other hotel. So why not tell her in advance? And why not tell her not to take her materials? In fact, the appellants would have been better afterwards not to have disclosed any of this. I'm out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ketchum, good morning.
Good morning. Please report, counsel. My name is Dan Ketchum. I'm here for the appellee, and I agree with the general characterization that this is truly a duty case.
In your position, there is no duty?
There is no duty, either in contract or in negligence, yes.
Not even a duty to use reasonable care?
Well, reasonable care to the extent you're providing duties, which is to place a reservation.
So the obligation of the travel agent would be something like this. This hotel system has a key to its safe, so if you leave the room, you better take the key to the safe with you. Is that the duty?
Well, I think I don't think that's the duty. I think that would be the duty of the hotel. The hotel is the entity and a party in this case that has control over security, over the room key and possession of the information down there. As a matter of fact, when the plaintiff checked into the hotel, they had her sign a card saying that she understood that the loss of personal theft and security was her own responsibility.
Did you have some kind of a duty to warn that the security might not be adequate in the hotel?
Well, there's no evidence that the security in the hotel was not adequate or that any
doesn't go to whether there's a duty. That goes to whether there's a breach.
Right. I don't believe there's any evidence that there's any thing that would give rise to duty to warn. There's no evidence that there's a history of theft at this hotel or any special knowledge that this key system, which he refers to as antiquated, I don't think that that's a legal standard. I don't think that there's any knowledge that we have that would give rise to a duty to warn, no.
Is it a key system to the door that you're talking about? To the hotel?
There's a key to the door, and then there's a separate key to the safe. And the interesting fact here that even makes this more remote and kind of shows what the parties understood the relationship to be, she came back into the room one day, discovered that she had left the safe open with her valuables in it. The maid had removed the valuables, which is the hotel policy, brought them to the safe at the desk with a note saying, come down and get your valuables. She then informs the hotel that she has $65,000 worth of jewelry in the safe, gets the jewelry back. Now, everyone that works at this hotel knows how much money she has in that safe, and she knows that hotel people have access to her room, and yet she leaves the key in the room, key to the safe in the room when she leaves. Now, if she had expected that there was a relationship with the travel agent over security, at this point she could have notified them, hey, what should I do? Where should I leave the room key? She's the one with the superior knowledge and control of her personal possessions. As a matter of fact, I cite the Turner case in which this court had a similar situation, which with even a more specific duty. It was an employer that was sued by an employee whose tools were stolen overnight at a location. And this court said, public policy seeks to place the burden of the loss on the person in the best position to avoid the loss. And here, the two people best situated to avoid the loss are obviously the plaintiff herself. She had control of this key. She should have kept it on her person. She was in a large party of people. She could have kept it in one of their rooms if she didn't want to take it to the beach or whatever. But that wouldn't have made it so easy to steal. Or the hotel, to expect a travel agent in Olathe, Kansas, to be in a position to prevent theft and know what's going on in the ground at a resort in New Mexico, essentially puts the travel agent in the position of becoming an insurer for that personal property.
Counsel, it seems to me your argument on duty is really split into two parts. The first part being, what is the duty of the travel agent to provide information to the traveler? But the second part, what is that the absence of a duty of the travel agent to protect the traveler from open or obvious hazards? Am I correct about...
That's kind of one concept, two different ways of saying the same thing. And I would say it is so obvious that you don't take valuables to a developing country. It's like saying don't drink the water. I mean, I can't believe that you know, people wouldn't know that or wouldn't know that when I take valuables, I'm responsible for them. I think she even gave some testimony to that. She had a prior theft loss in Italy on another trip. And so she knows that thefts can happen and that thieves target tourists.
So after the initial warning where she comes back and finds the hotel staff has her jewelry and she has to go reclaim it, isn't the hazard open and obvious at that point?
I think it's open and obvious before you book your flight, but it's really obvious at that point. And why she hid the key, and she did testify that she had the expectation that other people had access to her room. She knew that the maintenance people had to come and change a light bulb while she was there, and they did that while she was gone. So she knew that they had access to her room, as well as the maid who had discovered the jewelry missing. So she had the knowledge that people in this developing country, working people, had access to her room. And those people also had the knowledge that she had $65,000 worth of jewelry in that room.
Is your argument that even if there was a duty, that these intervening events are the causation?
You know, I really honestly argue it as a duty case, but I guess there would be a second issue there. And I think the way Judge Coffey worded his order, he kind of went down several steps where he thought we had a good argument on each of them. So I think that was a finding of Judge Coffey, yes.
Judge Coffey made a finding that any negligence of the defendants would have been superseded by the negligence of the plaintiff in leaving her safe key in her room while she was not present. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yes. And I think it's an easier...
Does that go to proximate cause, or is that a balancing of negligence?
That's why I prefer to look at this as a duty case. But yes, it's superseding is a proximate cause argument.
That's how you read it.
Yeah, yeah. But certainly there's, I don't think there's, as a public policy, as this court said in Turner, if you want to prevent theft, it really comes down to control and who has the ability to prevent that theft. I mean, it's if a travel agent is put in this position, they're essentially going to be an insurer for any loss that happens on a trip. I mean, if people are all aware that your personal property, things you keep on your person, are your responsibility. And so I think clearly there's no duty. And there's no, we haven't even talked about the contract. It's not anywhere in the contract. And she acknowledges when she checks in the hotel that this is the arrangement, that she is responsible for her personal property.
Do you think there's any contract that's in our record?
I think the only evidence in the record is of an oral contract. Similar to the experience we all have when booking a flight or a hotel. I want to stay there. Here's the price. Here's what's included.
So are there any terms of that oral contract recited anywhere in the evidence?
No. Not as would pertain to that loss of personal property. The affidavits of my clients say that, you know, of course we don't undertake that role. And then the plaintiff acknowledges when she checks in the hotel that personal property is her sole responsibility. What she said.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go.